Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Carpenter with Prepare for College. And as I always say at the beginning, that website is prepareforcollege.com, prepare the number four college.com. Today we're going to be doing section or chapter number five on the student athlete, and this is going to be relating to tracking and communicating with the college coach. And again, we have Chuck Moore with us, who's going to be giving this presentation. And I know we've got questions coming up from Al and I. So, Chuck, we're going to let you get right into it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, what I'm going to be covering here is some tips on continuously communicating with the college coach. Now, student athletes that are in the recruiting journey, they must stay organized. It's just as important as them staying in athletic shape. One of the most important tools a student athlete can use throughout the process is a communication log. Now, tracking who you've spoken to and what was said and what steps needs to be taken next will definitely give you a clear advantage into marketing yourself to the college coach. So the first one here is it will help you stay organized and professional. A lot of college coaches want to work with student athletes who are responsible and on top of things. Keeping detailed notes, including who you spoke to and when, will show that you're treating the recruiting process to the college coach, that you're treating it like a professional. Another one, number two, avoid miscommunications or repetition. If you're communicating with multiple coaches from different schools, it's easy to forget what was said and when. A written log prevents awkward repetition and keeps your message fresh and thorough. In other words, it won't keep you into a position to where, well, you know, did I say this to them last time, or did I tell this one particular coach this particular thing? This is more to avoid any type of miscommunication as you go through the marketing process. Now, here's a big one. Monitoring interest levels. If you track how often a college coach reaches out to you, and the tone of the communication will help you measure how serious their interest really is. Repeated in-depth conversations signal strong interest, while sporadic contact may mean you're not being noticed by the coach that much, or they're really not that much interested in you. So if you get a college coach that is regularly communicating with you and showing a lot of interest, then that is a really good sign in potential of receiving athletic scholarships. Know who you contact first is another one. Recording initial contact dates can help you understand your standings with each program. It's also important for keeping up with the NCAA rules and timelines, especially for Division I and Division II programs. Another tip, plan your follow-up strategies. Knowing when you last reached out to the college coach allows you to follow up with confidence. If it's been a couple of weeks, it might be time to reconnect with the college coach. If it was just a few days ago, you know to wait a little while before you contact them again. And once again, that's what the log is for. It also gives a student athlete the ability to compare the schools side by side. Now, your recruiting journal or log becomes a personal comparison tool. By logging each school's communications, what they said, what type of scholarship offers might have come along during the conversation, and any program details, you can make a more informed decision when it comes time to choose which college that you want to attend. It helps you prepare for the conversation. Before a phone call or campus visit, looking back over your notes can help you remember key points from earlier conversations. Now, this helps you start sound, or stay sound rather, thoughtful and fully engaged. And this basically will help you in asking questions or whatever at the college coach during your phone call or your campus visits. Now, up to this point, Gary, Al, do you all have anything else to put in here?
No comments, but I do have a question. When I help clients with their award letters that they get in the spring, is it appropriate to leverage a scholarship, athletic scholarship of one college against another?
Yes, without a doubt, especially if the college and the university are of equal value competition-wise.
Yeah, exactly. Division 1, Division 2, Division 3.
Exactly. You're not going to get too much, you know, negotiating power if you're sitting here saying, you know, you're talking to a Division 1 coach and you had an offer over here from a Division 2 coach. And you're saying, well, Division II coach, I just did receive a full scholarship from the Division I school. Well, that's not going to help you at all, because a lot of the Division II schools cannot give out a full athletic scholarship for the. So the negotiation part in taking two different schools that are playing at two different levels is not going to help. But if you have two Division I schools, then yeah, that could make a difference on the not only the offer, but as well as the admission issues for that particular student athlete. Gary, you got a question?
Yes, Chuck, and this is very basic, and maybe it's a review. Can you just briefly go over what divisions offer scholarships and which ones don't? Because I don't think everyone knows that.
Okay, the ones that offer athletic scholarships, of course, is your Division I, your Division II, and your NAIA colleges. Division III does not offer athletic scholarships. However, that doesn't mean that they can't give you money if they want you to come and play for their school on an athletic standpoint. They can enhance their offers by increasing maybe your merit-based aid based off of certain criteria and things along those lines. That's a reason why student athletes, if you plan on playing for a Division III school, to enhance yourself to getting additional money and playing athletics at the same time, is to score well on the ACT, SAT test score, keep your GPA up in good standings, and therefore they could potentially, you know, give you larger merit scholarship based off of academics. But those are normally the four schools that you're going to be dealing with. Now, there are junior colleges out there that also provide athletic scholarships, but they're very, very few, and there's really no sense in getting into depth on those particular universities. But your main ones is your Division I, Division II, Division III, and your NAIA schools. Now, the NAIA schools are not involved into the NCAA rules and regulations. They've got their own criteria. So it's completely separate. Division I, Division II, and Division III is all under the NCAA rules.
Ah, thank you, Chuck.
Okay. Let's go on to another tip. You need to document verbal offers and promises. If a college coach mentions a scholarship or maybe a preferred walk-on spot on their team or future team plans, you need to write that down. Verbal offers, of course, are not binding, so having a record helps protect your interest. And this is one thing with the college coaches. A lot of them will come in and they'll make a verbal offer to you, And with a lot of student athletes, you feel like if they give me a verbal offer here, I'm going to get this amount of money or whatever. Verbal offers are not binding. Therefore, they could change their mind if they find another student athlete that they feel like that would fill the position that they're looking to fill, that is going to be better than you. So just take it with a grain of salt. Number nine down here is tracking NCAA communication rules. Now, normally I tell an individual student athlete, don't be concerned with the NCAA laws and regulations, because really there's nothing that you can do about them. Normally the college coaches or their representatives, they're going to know what they can do and what they can't do. However, if you want to, the benefits from that is that each college division follows different recruiting calendars. Keeping notes helps ensure you're not in violation of the contact rules. And it lets you track when you're eligible for official visits, calls, or texts. So, you know, that's all you really need to know about it. I wouldn't really be concerned that much, but it's good information to know as you go through this process. And another one is build a recruiting timeline. Your communication log becomes a timeline of progress. You'll see when things started, what milestones you've hit, and what you need to happen next to move on forward with the college coach. You need to demonstrate interest to the college coach. Now, when you're referring past conversations or follow-ups on anything that the college coach mentions, it shows you that you're genuinely interested into their college or their athletic program. Now, college coaches, they notice this, and they often prioritize recruits who are enthusiastic and engaged with their program, not another school or whatever. So you want to give them the impression here during your communication with the college coach that, hey, you know, I'm really interested in attending your college or university. And you could possibly come in and say, hey, you're number one on my list. There's nothing wrong with saying things like that, even though it may not be completely true, but it keeps the college coaches more interested in you whenever you say something along those lines. You need to create a backup plan. Now, sometimes opportunities fall through. Coaches may change their job, lose scholarship spots, or stop responding completely with the student athlete. If that happens, your notes can help you quickly refocus on other programs or other opportunities of the colleges that you may be interested in. Here's another tip: support from parents or advisors involved. Now, if your parents are, or if the parents or a recruiting advisor, which is a college consultant, are helping the individual student athlete, your logs allow them to jump in and support you with more effective communication skills. Everyone wants to stay on the same page when there are a clear record of what was said, when was said, and what was the intent of the communications. Another one is keep track of campus visit details. After you visit, either an official visit or non-official visit, your impression and the people that you meet may fade from your memory. So write down key takeaways that you have received during the college visits, and this will help you compare each visit from one college to the next, and it makes your decision a lot easier later on. And the last one that I'm going to cover here is reflect on your growth and progress. A recruiting journal becomes more than a tracker. It becomes a reflection of your journey through the marketing process. Now, as you look back, you'll see how much you've matured, what you've learned and how ready you are for being a college athlete. And this is just like anything else. You can use the same techniques and ideas that more than likely that you would use once you graduate from college to pursue different job offers. You've got to know what was said, who said it, what was promised you, and major factors like that. So keeping the lines of the communication and developing some type of communication system is extremely important, because what was said one day, you might forget, you know, a week or 2 weeks from now. So keeping this log will help you make the final decision when you select a particular college or a university. Gary, well,
okay, I'll go first then. Back to the offers that are made from a coach. Now, you don't want to, verbals is not a firm commitment. But when they do make a commitment, is it included in an award letter, or do you get a special letter for the scholarship, that for an athletic scholarship? How does that go?
They normally, whenever they make a verbal commitment, it is normally done verbally. That may sound crazy. It's not in writing, in other words. Before they can come back and give money out to an individual student, there's other processes, going to the National Clearinghouse to see whether or not you're eligible to play for a particular college or university, because there are guidelines of your grade point average. You've got to maintain a certain grade point average in order for you to receive an athletic scholarship from a particular college. Now, I've seen in a lot of situations to where we had one young man in Lexington, Kentucky, and he was verbally offered a full athletic scholarship to attend, and I'm not going to mention the school, but it's a big one here in Kentucky. And so he stopped his marketing process. He didn't contact any other coaches or any other schools or whatever. And about month and a half later, the coach contacted him, not the head coach, but the coach that was doing the recruiting process, and said that they did not have a spot for him, and pulled the verbal commitment back. So now all of a sudden, he's 2 or 3 months from making a decision on what college to attend, and he thought he had a full athletic scholarship going to this particular university, and now that's been thrown down the drain. But they did say, we'll try to offer you a walk-on position. Well, what happened there is that one of the other athletes that they were recruiting, that was a four-star athlete, elected to accept an athletic scholarship from the university, which bumped this individual out, which really upset the individual student. Well, what happened out of that situation? He ended up going to a Division II school instead of Division I school. So take the verbal commitments and things like that with a grain of salt.
Another question. When would they receive the written commitment?
Okay, that normally is in sometime in the senior year, when the NCAA laws, each sport basically has different timelines, but you'll receive an official offer by the college or the university, and at that time you will sign that offer. Now, that is an official agreement that you have selected that particular college to go, and the college now is obligated to provide you a particular scholarship for at least 1 year.
Perfect. Thank you, Chuck.
Now, that's basically called the National Letter of Intent, is what that is. And a lot of individual student athletes think that this National Letter of Intent is signing an agreement with the college coach. It isn't being signed for the benefit of the college coach. The National Letter of Intent, you're signing a contract with the college or the university, not the athletic department.
Is it appropriate to book meetings from meetings? In other words, if I'm talking to the coach or his assistant, and the meeting is about over, is it a little bit too pushy to sit there and say, you know, I have time to meet in a couple of weeks. Let's set a meeting from a meeting, coach. I like to always try to keep that string of communication going. Is that a bit pushy, or is that
Oh,
actually considered
no,
pretty good interest?
not at all. You do it, as long as you do it in a professional standpoint and give them the reason why. Now, during the actual college visits, whether or not the college coach comes to the student athlete's home or you actually go on campus, okay, the communication between the coach and the students. The coach is basically a professional salesperson. Not only are they a coach, they're actually salespeople. And they're going to tell the student athlete how great they are, how great they're going to be looking, you know, in their school uniform, and that we've got this facility and we can help you here. And try to get you to verbally commit that you will go ahead and accept and sign the national letter of intent. So if you've got several schools here that are interested in you, I would go ahead and wait before signing the national letter of intent with any college or university. Now, if one of the colleges were to come in and say, okay, we don't have the money to give you a full athletic scholarship, but what we do have, we can give you $1,000 the first year, and then next year we'll see if we can increase that to a full athletic scholarship. Whenever that happens, I normally tell the student athlete, do not sign the national letter of intent, period. Don't do it. Because once you sign that national letter of intent, you're obligated to that university, and you have to pull all communications and contacts with the other colleges that may be of interest to you.
Seems like a one-way street, though, because you have to tell them that you're not going to go to anywhere else, but they don't have to tell you until the last damn minute. So.
That is correct. Yeah, they can lead you on. They can lead you on and tell you that.
Well, how do you protect yourself from that type of situation?
You can't. You can't.
Oh, wow.
You just have to go with your gut feeling and just take the communication that is coming from the college coach. The more communication that college coach does with the individual student athlete, it's going to give you a good idea of how interested they are in you to come to play for their athletic program.
Well, I may be able to play, but I don't know if I can handle the stress of trying to get a coach to tell me. So that would be interesting. Kind of glad I didn't have to go through that. So, but just the same, it is a very, very positive thing to get that kind of money to play for a college. Surely is desirable. I can only imagine.
Well, now it even gets more complicated when you've got these athletes now that can actually earn money from sponsorships and such like that.
Yep.
And I was reading an article the other day, one individual student is going to be attending, I think, the University of Arkansas, and his money offer in there was right at $3.8 million.
Wow.
This is going to be another podcast. I can see that right now. Well, Chuck, thank you very much for this. It's very informative. A lot of things I didn't know about are coming to the surface now. I'm sure I'm going to be back in touch with you. For everyone out there, this podcast is recorded and available on our website. I think we have now close to 30 or 35 podcasts out there on college financial and academic planning and athletics for that matter also. So, again, it's on our website, prepareforcollege.com. And again, the word prepare, the number four, the word college.com. And if you have anyone that might be interested in these podcasts, please don't keep us a secret. Pass our name around And hopefully we'll be able to help some people. Any last thoughts before we sign off, gentlemen?
All set.
I'm all set.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us, and we'll be talking next week. Have a good day. Bye-bye.